Summer is the traditional season for getaway vacations, but this year the COVID-19 pandemic poses new challenges. Family budgets are strained, forcing parents to get creative about summer fun for kids. Not surprisingly, sales of pricey trampolines and above-ground pools have soared. But today, financial planner and teacher Rob West has some ways that parents can occupy the kids without busting the budget. And we'll take your calls on anything at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. 10, count 'em, free summer fun ideas next on MoneyWise Live. Okay, Rob, kids have been out of school for a few months now, and at least here in the South, and lots of parents are probably at wit's end looking for inexpensive ways to occupy them. Wouldn't you say, sir, you have a passel of them at home?
I do indeed, and I think you're probably right. So it's good news that wholesome entertainment for kids, Steve, doesn't have to be expensive.
All right. Parents, get your pencils out because we're going to tick through these 10 summer fun ideas pretty quickly. What's first on the list, Rob?
Number one, Steve, rethink your local library. If you haven't been there in a while, you may have forgotten it's a great place to research hundreds of family activities that entertain and educate. Many libraries are reopening with limited hours and new restrictions, so you should definitely call ahead before venturing out and grab that mask. Which leads us to number two. While you're browsing through the library stacks, look for ways to bring the fun outside. For example, check out books with pictures of the constellation. That night, maybe you sit in the backyard and search the skies for the Big Dipper or other celestial formations. It's also a great time to talk about God's creation. And by the way, you can download an app that will tell you when the International Space Station is passing by your house. It does that multiple times per day. I think it circles the Earth 9 times a day. So we have a lot of fun watching that pass by. You can see it very clearly.
Oh, this is so, you know, you didn't know this. I've never mentioned this to you, but I've been getting into astronomy. So
have
this
you?
Idea, yeah, I have been, yes. And I'm just short of pulling the trigger on a telescope that is probably far bigger than I need or can afford. But I have been out there looking for the space station and some of the moon, of course, is an easy one to spot.
You can't, little known fact, you can't watch the space station with it, though, because it's going 17,000 miles an hour, just too quick to catch in the telescope. But we can talk about that later.
All right, because someone will get a speeding ticket at 17,000. All right. You know, there are verses in the Bible, as you mentioned, that support this. Hebrews 1 says, "You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands." And I'm not sure you can lie on your back looking up into space and not feel that sensation. I remember that as a kid myself.
Completely agree. Absolutely.
Okay, next idea.
All right, fun idea number three is visit a state or county park. They may not all be open just yet, but many are starting to allow visitors in limited numbers. So again, you should call ahead or perhaps check the local website there for your county. If you find a nearby park is open, take a hike, enjoy some fresh air, and use the opportunity to teach kids about nature.
All right, remember that. Rob West told you to take a hike.
That's right.
Okay, but what if it's raining, sir?
Ah, yes, good question. That's idea number four, when the weather doesn't cooperate. Look for some indoor activities, board games, or a jigsaw puzzle if the kids are younger and can't sit still. As a grandfather, I'm sure you know, a blanket fort can turn an afternoon into an adventure.
A blanket fort, you're right. Throw a few pillows down and crazy what little children can do with that. All right. All right, what's next?
All right, number five, have a yard sale with your family wares spread out on tables or in groupings, 6 feet apart, of course. Here's an activity that can turn closet clutter into extra cash. It's also a chance to teach kids the value of things, encourage them to tithe on their profits. Now, fun idea number six, you may already be taking family walks around the neighborhood. Step it up, pun intended, by researching local places of interest. Start with historical markers nearby that you've probably driven by hundreds of times without stopping, or on your walking tour, have the kids read the markers aloud, then discuss what they've learned over a picnic lunch. Always fun.
Yeah, but watch out for ants. I understand they're not practicing social distancing. They've always been a little
rude in that way. All right.
That's right.
Listen, I hear music, which means we don't really have time for the next couple. But after the break, we'll come back with suggestions number 8, 9, and 10, and maybe even hear some of yours. Here's our phone number. Give us a call if you'd like, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. This is Money Wise with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Stick around.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Kids have a remarkable capacity to get themselves in a mess, don't they? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I've seen it a million times. A teen wants to make his own decisions, control his circumstances, and in the process, he makes a few mistakes. To a parent, it looks like he's tangled himself in a knot. But Mom and Dad, before you jump in and clean up the mess, let me urge you to hold back. Part of the growing up process your son is going through right now has to do with the mess. Perhaps your job right now, instead of rescuing your teen, is to hold him accountable to untangle his entanglements. It's a lesson you once learned, and it's a lesson your teen needs to learn today.
Want more parenting help from Mark Gregston? Find encouragement through articles, books, and more at ParentingTodaysTeens.org. Again, ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Really glad you're with us today. It's MoneyWise Live. Hope your day has been going well for you so far and that you'll give us a call if there's something we can help you with, something financial. That's why we're here, obviously. It's MoneyWise Live at 800-525-7000, and we have some open lines, so now is a great time to call. Now, Rob showed up today with 10 suggestions, 10 low-cost suggestions for things we can do with the kids this summer. And I think, Rob, we were about to close in on suggestion number 7. What do you have?
Yeah, but you know, before we get to that, just before the break, Steve, we were talking about how it'd be fun to check out a book on constellations, lay in the front yard. You mentioned that you've been inquiring about a telescope, perhaps even thinking about a purchase. I was talking about how we've had fun this summer with an app that tells us when the International Space Station is going to cross over our house. We go out and watch it. I think Darren actually has an idea there in Chicago related to all of this. What do you say we talk to Darren on line two?
Darren does? Okay, let's see. Darren's in Chicago, and I think we have to I'm waiting for my screen to do what my screen is supposed to do.
All right, I'll do it. Hey, Darren, go right ahead,
all right,
sir.
You do it. I don't see him here.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Hello,
okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Appreciate your guys' show. I listen to it often. I just happened to hear you talking about astronomy, and the other night my neighbor said, hey, you know, Jupiter and Saturn are right around the moon right now. I'm like, no kidding. So I got out my telescope. Sure enough, Jupiter's pretty bright. Saturn is a lot fainter, but I was able to zoom in on Saturn and actually see some of the rings. So I would use your telescope if you get a chance. Yeah. And check it out, you know. It's really pretty cool. So
Yeah. Now, could you spot them with the naked eye, or did you have to use an app to kind of tell you where they were, or how did you spot them?
No, you can see them with the naked eye. Jupiter is the brightest. It's usually to the right, and then Saturn, when the moon's rising, is a little bit to the left, and it's real faint. It's not as bright, but I do have on my telescope kind of like a scope to begin with to try to center, you know, like get your and it's got crosshairs. And so in that, I was able to put Saturn. It was really hard to do. It took me a while because, you know, telescopes are very sensitive to movement and that. So,
sure.
But I used a big, I used a big look first, and then I zoomed it down. And, man, it was so cool to see that. So encourage you guys, you and your listeners, try it. It's a phenomenon that happens every so often. So, all right.
Good deal.
That's it.
Hey, Darren, can I give you a call off air sometime and pick your brain a little bit?
Sure.
All right. Make sure that the lady that speaks to you off air gets your phone number, and I'll call you, and then maybe I'll come up, buy you a cup of coffee, and you can let me look through yours.
I mean, it's only
a flight from Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta.
we're glad you called. It might be cooler up here. I don't know. You guys are pretty hot down there.
I suspect it is.
We're in the 90s, but we go down to the 70s at night, so it's tolerable.
Sounds good to me. God bless you, Darren. We appreciate that.
You too. All right, thanks.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Rob, we still haven't gotten the number 7 yet.
I'm sorry.
People are calling in.
Here we go.
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, you've probably been hitting nearby playgrounds. I know many of you are ready to get outside, especially with the season we've been through. So here's just a variation of that. Take a short field trip to a playground in the next town where the kids can find new equipment to play on. I would say bring a frisbee or a ball so you can play with the kids. And certainly we can all use a little bit more fresh air. Number 8, here's a good one. And we do this when we go on road trips, but there's no reason to wait for a road trip. Do an entertainment swap with friends, maintaining social distancing, of course, but you can exchange movies or video games for the weekend. It'll feel like you've bought something new without spending any money. And then number 9, a little DIY for the kids. Help them build airplanes or kites with scrap paper. Have a little competition to see which one flies the furthest. For ideas, though, on design, you can actually go back to fun idea number 1, which was visit the local library. You'll find some books on that. And then finally, number 10, when you're on one of those family walks I mentioned before the break, visit an elderly or disabled person in your neighborhood. While you're chatting, take notice of anything you or your kids might be able to do to help them out and offer to do it. Of course, make sure you keep your social distance from them on the front porch. You don't want to get too close. But that'll be a great way to share the gospel and the love of Christ. It'll also help teach your kids respect for others and appreciation for what God's given them.
Well, this may be a memorable year and a memorable summer for lots of people in lots of different ways. So why not add a little ministry to those opportunities to do something a little outside the box this year? So great suggestions. In fact, that's our question of the day. Do you have any creative or inexpensive ways to keep your kids entertained? Jennifer responded on Facebook and said paper and crayons. So most likely, if yours are a little on the younger side, paper and crayons may just keep them busy for quite a while, and it's a fun, creative thing to do, even for mom and dad, as long as no one is looking. And if you have any suggestions you want to call in with today, feel free. We like crayons here. 800-525-7000. Let's go back to our phone lines. Rob, Rochester, New York. Hello, Frank. What's your question, comment, or suggestion today?
Hello. I'm doing good.
Yes, great.
It was good talking to you earlier.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm calling regarding the giving. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling regarding the giving. Now, like y'all said that, you know, give here and give that. You know, and I'm thinking about, like, who should I give to? Like, I mean, I'm involved in the church, you know, but I know I have to pay tithe and do the offering. But what about the giving? Can it be to anybody? Is it all have to be towards the church?
Yeah.
That's a great question, Frank. You know, we do talk about giving a lot here at MoneyWise Live, and the reason is we really believe that it's on the heart of God, that we're most like Him when we're giving. It also has this unusual effect where when we give, it breaks the grip of money over our lives, and it allows us to experience incredible joy. And so that's why we're just huge proponents of taking a portion of what God has entrusted to you and returning it into circulation in the kingdom. And as you said, I would absolutely start by being a percentage or a systematic giver, giving proportionately, beginning with the local church. I think that's certainly a part of God's plan. But beyond that, then I think we need to really look at the heart of God and say, where should we be giving with what God has entrusted to us beyond our systematic giving? And let me direct you to our website, Frank. There's a tool there that's free of charge that I think you'll find helpful. If you just go to moneywiselive.org, click on the resources tab, and then download what's called the Giving Plan. Here's what it's going to do. It's going to break that decision or question that you're asking up into three pieces. Number one, what are your passions? The questions on that giving plan document are going to help you uncover some of the most joy-filled ways you've been generous in your life. It's going to help you identify perhaps things that are on your heart, where God might be leading you to really solve some of the challenges or the things in the world that perhaps are most dear to you. And so we want to help you uncover your passions. That's always a good first step when it comes to giving. The second is wisdom. What questions should you be asking to organizations and ministries that you're thinking about supporting? Well, we provide seven of them that you can use as a great gauge. But then the third piece of it is the plan, and I think this is what you're looking for. It helps you identify both your proportionate, your planned, and what I like to call pre-committed giving around some of the key areas, your local church, of course, but then evangelism and discipleship and the poor. We know that was on the heart of God. What about widows and orphans or whatever, you know, God has placed on your heart? And then in what areas, in your city, in the country, or even around the world? So I think that will give you really a roadmap, if you will, to think about your giving. Again, just go to the resources section of our website and download the giving plan.
Yeah. Frank, we appreciate your call today. Great question. Thank you so much. Let's see. I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a break here? Then we'll come back and speak with Cheryl in Richland, Washington. And after that, Sarah in Tampa, Florida. If you're just tuning in, it's MoneyWise Live. Rob West, your host. I'm Steve Moore. We're taking your calls today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. More to come after this.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
The Holy Spirit is not just interceding for God's global agenda. God's global agenda is of ultimate and priority importance. God said, this is what I have planned. Nothing is going to stop me from doing it. This is going to happen. But I want you to understand something. We are not just incidental in the mix. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loves people. He loves people. The Spirit's not just interceding so that God's great agenda can be served. Although God's great agenda will be served. The Holy Spirit helps people in their weakness. Because we can get this topsy-turvy in our theology. We need both parts to understand the greatness of our God. That God is both great and he is good. He is great and that he is sovereign, high, and lifted up, and he will do what he has set out to do. But he is also a God who is good to people who are weak and in need. The physician still came to heal the sick. and we are in need. And he intercedes for us, for people. People are still most precious among all his creation to God.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's Quick Word. Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
And welcome back to MoneyWise, helping you find God's plan and God's wisdom for your finances. To Richland, Washington. Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for holding. You have an activity suggestion for us, huh? Hi, Cheryl.
You
there?
Actually, we have a couple ones. I thought of another one while I was waiting.
Okay.
One thing that would always occupy my children for hours is I give them each a bucket of water and a paintbrush, regular big paintbrush like people use.
Yes.
To paint houses. And I said, okay, you can go paint the house. Let's see. Why don't you start here and work that way? And they paint with the water, and it would look like they were painting because it would kind of clean as it goes.
That's hilarious.
And they just, or go paint. Why don't you paint the garage today? They would come, once they did it, they'd come every day and say, Mommy, can we paint the house? You know,
wow.
And neighborhood, I always kept extra paintbrushes on hand because neighborhood children go, oh, Mrs. Lily, may we please paint your house too?
Now, at what age did they figure out, Cheryl, that you were having them paint the house with water?
Well, when I first started that activity, they were 3, 5,
okay.
And 8. Yeah, and it worked for several summers. They loved
it. I love that.
I think you broke some child labor laws there, Cheryl, but we won't report you.
Now, you said you had a second idea or maybe even a second and third, so go right ahead.
Yeah, and also for lunches, you can buy tortillas. Those are pretty cheap.
Okay.
And if you just chop up a hot dog and have the sauce and all the amenities there, and if they make their own pizza... Each child makes their own pizza. You can bake those off 2 at a time on a cookie sheet in the oven, and they will eat the whole thing because they made it.
Because they made it. Of course they will.
I love it.
And they loved it because they were cooking.
That's great. Well, those are great ideas, Cheryl. We appreciate you weighing in on the program today. Thanks for your call.
We do indeed. Thanks very much. Peru, Indiana. Hi, Steve. You have some thoughts for us, huh?
Yeah, I was telling your. I said that one of the things that I've gotten into recently and the kids really enjoy is arrowhead hunting. And where I live in Indiana, it's got a lot of rich Native American history. The Delaware and Miami tribes were very prevalent in this area.
Uh-huh.
And so if you go out along creek beds and a lot of cornfields around here, too, you can often find those artifacts, those rocks that they've shaped, and they just kind of pop up after the farmers disc the fields or after you get a good rain that washes a lot of the dirt away and you can see them better. And the kids, you know, we don't always find points, but we find... a lot of neat looking, and the kids really love it.
That is really cool. Now, Steve, did you ever do that as a kid?
I did do that. I lived in, as you know, Rob, born and raised in Rochester, New York, which was the area where the Mohawk Indians lived and prospered for quite a while. And you can find Indian arrowheads up in that part of the country. You had to look pretty hard. But, you know, if you did that with your folks, with your parents, just being out there with your parents in the fields, in the outdoors, that's a memorable and fun experience. So I think it's a great suggestion.
I love it.
Thanks, Steve. We appreciate that. Tampa, Florida. Hello, Sarah. What's your question today for Rob West?
Yes. I borrowed some money from a family member to finish building my house, and I need to repay them as soon as possible. The house is mortgage-free. What home equity loan should I apply for?
You know, you don't really need to get a home equity loan in the traditional sense because you don't have a first mortgage. So you would typically think about a home equity loan as a second mortgage. But given that as far as this home is concerned, it's unencumbered, you just want to go get a new first mortgage. Now, instead of, you know, paying the seller at closing, you're going to be essentially getting a cash out first mortgage. So you'll need to tell them that, and that may result in a perhaps a slightly limited option, you know, not as many options available. But I would start at bankrate.com and look for some of the more competitive lenders, probably some of the online banks. You could certainly check with your own local bank as well, but you're going to look for a new fixed rate first mortgage, get as low a term as you can get, 10, 15, 20 years. Make sure that the resulting PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment, is less, Sarah, than 25% of your take-home pay, just to make sure that you don't stretch yourself too thin. But that's what you're going to be looking for. Rates are very low right now, so it's a great time. And then you can take those proceeds and pay off your family member.
Sarah, we wish you the best with that. Thank you very much. Quickly, Asheville, North Carolina. Cindy, just a little bit of time. What's the situation there?
I'm interested in paying off my daughter's student loan. It's about $50,000, and my mother recently died, so I do have the money. The thought occurred to me, though, that if something was to happen to her, the student loan would be, you know, wiped away. Is that a good idea? She would make the monthly payments to us instead of to, you know, the student loan company. Is that a good idea for us to do? She doesn't have life insurance.
Yeah, I'd rather you not do that. If you want to help her out along the way, you could certainly do that and maybe even incentivize her by matching payments she's making if you want to be a part of helping to pay this off. But taking that on and then you being the lender, which changes the relationship, if for some reason she couldn't pay you back, I would just hate the relational damage that would come as a result of that. So I'd prefer you not take that approach and just help her with an outright gift if that's what you're looking to do.
Cindy, we're going to have to let you go. We're up against a break, but thank you for calling. We'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, this is Judy Krohn, executive producer for Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Psalm 119, 16 through 18. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. That's Psalm 119, 16 through 18, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Moody Bible Institute founder Dwight Lyman Moody once said,
"Take courage. We walk in the wilderness today, but in the promised land, tomorrow."
For Christ followers, we walk with a mission to share the gospel of Christ. Each day provides opportunity to invest in this mission. A charitable gift annuity to benefit Moody provides life income to you with the remainder supporting the work of the Moody Bible Institute. To find out much more, call 1-800-801-2171. That's 800-801-2171.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover The Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of The Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Dr. Anthony Fauci says Alabama and other states with soaring coronavirus rates have a window of opportunity to bring it under control. He spoke in favor of state and local requirements for masks in public. Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Diseases, says the United States is at a resurgence of new coronavirus cases, with cases nearly double the country's previously high baseline. Infection rates have been rising in the South and West. Speaking at a White House summit this afternoon, President Trump congratulated Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for his decision to open schools, saying that other governors should follow suit. Banks and companies that rely on consumer spending led stocks broadly lower on Wall Street. The Dow lost 396 points today. The NASDAQ was off 89. The S&P down 34. This is SRN News.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live. You know, we come to you each day, Monday through Friday, because of the generosity of lots and lots of people over lots and lots of years. We wouldn't be here or be able to be here without you helping us with your prayers and your financial gifts. If you'd like to give, it's tax deductible. We've been here for a long time. You can find out all you need to know about us, who we are, what our mission is, what we do. And yes, you can even make a donation when you visit our website, MoneyWiseLive.org. Just click the Donate tab in the upper part of the screen. And thanks so much in advance. Boca Raton, Florida. Hello, Jeff. Thanks for holding. And what's your question?
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm kind of in that age range where I'm thinking about retirement, but I'm still years away from Medicare. And my biggest expense if I retired would be health insurance and besides my home. So I wondered what your thoughts were on the Christian medical sharing programs and how that might put me at risk as far as the assets that I have accumulated for retirement.
I don't see a reason why that would put you at risk. If anything, it would ensure that you're alleviating the risk of a significant medical expense without the proper coverage in retirement. So it's not going to make you any more susceptible to have those assets attached by anyone. And we love the medical sharing programs. We talk often about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's been a longtime partner of ours here at MoneyWise Media. Some of our staff actually use CHM, and there's a number of good ones out there. But the bottom line is it's Christians coming together to share one another's medical bills. It's not insurance, but it's an alternative. And, as long as you have the resources to take care of the first, in the case of CHM, the first $500 of each incident, then CHN steps in where you're a cash payer. But now, all these members, tens of thousands, are sharing one another's burdens through their monthly share amount. And through something called Brothers Keeper, it's an unlimited amount that would be paid out for a major event. So in the millions and, again, unlimited. So I think that would be a great option for you because it keeps the cost low as opposed to real health insurance, which is incredibly costly. It can be added to Medicare as kind of a supplement, so to speak, and it will just help to prevent you from seeing a significant loss of your assets because of some major medical expense that you had uncovered. So I like it a lot for somebody in your situation, Jeff.
Thank you so much. What about, do you back it up with some other type of plan as far as doctor visits and that kind of thing, or do you just pay cash for those?
No, I think you are going to be a cash payer for those. And so the idea is, given the significant amount you'd save between what you'd pay for a medical cost sharing program and traditional insurance, you would be, in a sense, quote unquote, banking that money that's then available for that first $500 per incident. So you're, in a sense, self-insuring as a cash payer. By the way, when you're a cash payer, you get the cash discount. And you would just pay out of pocket until you reach that $500. But the significant amount of savings you would have would offset that and then some in just about every case.
And when you reach that $500, Rob, I mean, you do receive a card, just like when you have insurance, that indicates to the physician that you have a plan. It's not insurance, but it's similar to, and I mean, everything's on the up and up. It's applicable in all 50 states, or maybe just 49 right now. That information slips my mind, but it works pretty much the same from a practical standpoint, Jeff. And if you'll visit their website, chministries.org, you'll find all the information you need. They have a wonderful website, very easy to work your way through. And we're glad that you called today. Thanks for your interest. Crown Point, Indiana. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind today?
Hey, thanks for taking a call.
Sure.
So I've got two boys in high school that I have 529 plans saved up for them. In addition to a daughter that just graduated college, she went through her 529 money and then had to take out some money in a school loan for the last year. So my question is, my youngest son is not quite sure he's 100% college material. If he does not go or does not spend all of his 529 money, can I use that to pay the college loan debt for my daughter that graduated?
Yeah, it's a great question, Rick, and this has changed. You know, it used to be that any withdrawals for the purpose of student loan payments were not qualified withdrawals. Therefore, they'd be subject to income taxes and other penalties. But there was a law signed by President Trump in December of 2019 as a part of what's called the Secure Act that added student loans as a qualified expense for 529s. There's a lifetime limit of $10,000 from a 529 plan that can be used without penalty or taxes to repay the beneficiary student loans, which was the original child that you said may not need it. But an additional $10,000 can be used to repay student loans held by each of the beneficiary's siblings. So it sounds like, based on my understanding of the law, and you'd want to confirm this with your tax preparer, that you should be able to take up to $10,000 for a sibling of the beneficiary's existing student loan payments or debt reduction and not have to pay any penalties or taxes on that money. So I think the Secure Act is going to work in your favor. So go ahead and check that out, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Thank you, Rick. Hope that works well for you. And that's great information for some folks. It gives a little more flexibility to how you use your 529 plan money. Back to Indianapolis. Lots of calls from Indiana today. Hi, Keith. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, we've got the six-month saved up. We've got our 401k. I mean, we do charity and everything. And so I had some extra money, and I was wondering what you thought about for the apps that are like Stash and SoFi and that you can pool your money to, I understand, is to purchase stocks.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with those?
I am. Yeah. Are you looking, Keith, to buy fractional shares in companies? Is that what you mean by that? Or are you just looking for us? Go ahead.
Yeah. For like Amazon, you know, it's way up there, but it's a good stock. And so to take a large amount and put into that, it would be I could put more less in but still get a percentage of the stock.
Yeah, and you certainly could do that. I mean, I have never used Stash personally. I'm familiar with it. NerdWallet is a great website that rates all these sites, so I'd check it there first, nerdwallet.com, and just read their Stash review. They have a new one for 2020. It'll give you all the breakdown of the pros and the cons, the expenses, and it'll compare it. It doesn't rate quite as well as SoFi and Wealthfront. I'm familiar with Wealthfront. I like it a lot. And rather than buying the fractional shares, my preference is just to use either something like Wealthfront or Betterment to just buy systematically, ETFs that are index based. So you're just buying the broad moves of the market, both stock and bond market, in a portfolio that's appropriate for your age, risk tolerance, goals, and objectives. But if you're specifically looking for fractional shares because you want to buy, into specific companies, and you'd be too highly concentrated to buy full shares of Amazon and others, Apple or something like that, just because the price per share is so high, something like Stash or even Robinhood can be a great option for fractional shares. But just for your average, long-term investments, I'd prefer Wealthfront or Betterment. But check out nerdwallet.com. I think you'll find a lot of useful information.
Keith, we're glad that you called today, and we do appreciate it. Thank you very much. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another, John 13:35. We'll be right back.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. I know it has life and death consequences, but for me, I see it as a team sport. It may take 5 or 20 encounters with praying Christians before someone actually accepts the Lord. That makes it a team effort, and we all need to play our positions to the best of our abilities to get as many people into heaven as possible. If one of us does something stupid and lets the team down, it could cost someone their eternity. The team sport mentality puts the pressure on all of us to move everyone every day closer to Jesus in everything we do, at every opportunity. Like it or not, you're in full-time ministry. If you're a Christian, you can't escape this fact. Everything you say and do is leading people closer or further away from God. And the game clock is running out of time. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
I'm John Erickson Tata. And I love the story of Gideon in the Bible. In Judges chapter 6, God told little old Gideon that he was to conquer the mighty Midianites. But Gideon objected and said he was too weak. Now, I love the way God replies. He says to Gideon, "Go in the strength you have, for have I not sent you?" God is inasmuch saying, "Go out there, Gideon, act like Israel's deliverer, even though you don't feel like it." You see, God takes His people as they are and makes them what they are not. And that should encourage you. God is going to use your natural gifts because He believes your gifts are capable of being set to a higher task. You might not think so, but God sure does. And if the Lord is calling you to be brave, you better believe He's going to make you brave, friend. So today, let God take you as you are and make you what you are not. And that's a good word from Gideon.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
So who are those guys and who allowed them on the radio? Well, he's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you today and to take your calls. Let's continue on. Tampa, Florida. Hi, Lynn. What's your question?
Hello. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm pulled over in a rainstorm, so you might hear the rain.
I'm glad you pulled over.
Since everything happened with the development of COVID, I got a little bit freaked out with the market. And when the market did that drop initially, when COVID surfaced, I took my monies out of the investments in which I had it in and put it into a fix. I kept it with the same company, put it into a fix. So it's been there ever since. It's not losing money, and it's only earning 3.75% in interest. Mm. The question is this. Should I, you know, I've been told since I did that, you know, the market is up and down, and you just kind of have to just roll with it. And so I just need some direction.
Yeah, Lynn, did you say this is inside a retirement plan?
It is, yes.
Like a 401k, or what do you have?
It's not a 401k. It was money saved through the deferred retirement option plan. Okay. So I'm not sure.
And are you able to freely move out of that fixed option, or would that require you to, you know, surrender it and pay some sort of fee or penalty?
Oh, no, no, no. I don't have to. I won't have to pay any kind of fee or penalty for the move that I made.
Got it. And so even if you moved it back out into a more typical stock and bond allocation, you can do that without any expense?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you say your age was, if you don't mind me asking, Lynn?
I am 55 years old.
Okay. And how long do you plan on continuing to work?
Well, I'm retired, and I'm now working again.
Okay.
So I have retired from the company in which I yielded the drop money, and so now I'm working again, and I plan to be in the workforce for about another 8 years.
Okay, and you don't anticipate having to touch this money during those 8 years, but at the point when you fully retire, do you think you'll need to start taking an income off of this money?
I don't think so, no, and I okay. don't plan as it stands to take any monies. I've wanted to do some home repairs. But I have not touched the money since I retired.
Okay, very good. Well, here's my thought. You know, it's really all about goals and objectives and peace of mind. You're the steward of these resources. God has entrusted them to you. So the goal here is not to, quote unquote, beat the market. The goal is not to beat your, you know, brother-in-law or anybody else in the stock market. The goal is to really ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? And to the extent you've set aside resources for the future to be able to live off of at some point when you're not able to work and cover your lifestyle, do whatever giving the Lord leads you to, travel, whatever God has for you in that season, volunteer, you need to figure out what is the right approach for you. Typically, I would say when you're 8 years out of fully retired at 55, you'd probably want a portfolio of probably, you know, 40 to 60% in stocks and 40 to 60% in bonds. Typically, you know, if you use the rule of 100, you'd have, you know, around 50-50, if you will, at your age, stocks and bonds. What that would do is would give you a real solid fixed income strategy alongside a growth component. And yes, the market's going to move up and down. We certainly saw that this year, the fastest decline to a bear market in history. But we also saw a massive recovery. Now, does that mean it's over? No, not by any means. We could, you know, we could see another down leg here, especially with what's going on with the pandemic in this country and around the world. But over time, the next 8 years, the next 10 years, and if you're saying you're not even going to touch it then, perhaps the next 20 or 30 years, if the Lord tarries and your health is good, that would give you a growth component to this. So I'd be more inclined for you to systematically move this back into a more traditional stock and bond allocation of roughly 50-50. And if you have questions on that, connect with a certified Kingdom advisor on our website at moneywiselive.org.
Thank you, Lynn. Quickly to Millery, Alabama. And Barbara, you're thinking of maybe trading in your current car. What's the story here?
Yeah, I've heard that it's not a good idea, of course, to buy a new car. But I have a 2016 Hyundai Sonata. I bought it used. I've had it 2 years. I just paid it off in May. Well, I'm starting to, it's got 81,000 miles. I'm starting to have some problems. Today I had a $300 bill for a sensor. And so the gentleman there at the Hyundai dealership was telling me about the incentives that Hyundai has right now. And I basically, I guess I just need to know that's probably not a good idea to trade my car, right?
Yeah, I would say
give me $6,000 for my car.
Yeah. No. You know, Ron Blue, the author and a mentor of mine, has always said the cheapest car you're going to own is the one you own right now. You know, the Hyundai Sonata gets a great review and rating from J.D. Power. It's above average on the reliability scale. Our team just looked it up, and I think it's a 4 out of 5. So I would say, given that even though you're having some expected repairs here, I don't hear very onerous. So I would just keep this car right now, continue to drive it, and now that you don't have that payment anymore, perhaps you start making that payment to yourself, put it aside in a fund, so that when you do need to buy your next car, a 2 or 3 or 4 year old car, reliable, you have a substantial down payment because you've continued making that payment to yourself, and just keep driving it as long as you can. And I think you'll find that's going to be the least costly way to go.
Yeah. Barbara, there was an airbag recall on that. Make sure that you've had that dealt with. But other than that, totally agree with what Rob says, and we suggest you continue to drive it. We wish you the best. Thanks. Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Charlie. What's going on in your life, sir?
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. Happy to.
Yeah.
I have a very independent firstborn daughter who's beautiful. And she's starting a new job, and she wants to save her money. We're going to do a direct deposit, but we're trying to figure out if we can link some kind of not necessarily a credit card, but some kind of a card that she can use that has a limit. Do you suggest any?
What you're describing is a secured credit card, and you can go to bankrate.com, you can go to creditcards.com, you can go to nerdwallet.com and review them, find out which is the best, again, secured credit card. What that's going to do, Charlie, is just what you're saying. It's going to kind of allow her to ease into this world. The focus is to make sure she has a spending plan, make sure she's got a detailed budget of what's coming in and going out. She's only going to want to use this card for budgeted items, for convenience. But the beautiful part of the secured nature of the card is there's an amount on deposit, so she's not allowed to charge beyond what's on deposit until it's paid back down. And that's going to prevent her from getting into trouble by borrowing money that she doesn't have through easy credit. But this could be a great learning vehicle. The other thing I'd like you to do is begin teaching her God's way of handling money. So hang on the line. We're going to get your information. I'll send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts. I'd love for you to challenge her to begin to read that, and perhaps you all take a chapter at a time and talk through it so she can begin to become acclimated with God's way of handling money. But I think a secured card is a great way to go, and the built-in protection on that will be something you'd really enjoy.
Yeah, great suggestion, Charlie. We wish you the best as you work with your daughter on this, and we'll get that book right out to you. Thanks. Miguel is in Miami. Miguel, you're our final caller today. What's the biblical question you have for us, buddy?
Awesome. It's a tithing question. Now, there seems to be two sides to this. Some Christians say it's still a requirement for us to tithe. Other Christians say it's no longer a requirement because that's part of the law, and the law was fulfilled by Jesus. But it does not mean to not give. Some people try to use that to, we're not going to give, because in the New Testament, multiple times, it states to give to the poor, to be very generous, to give, keeping up with income, among other things. So I just wanted to see your take on it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question. Let me just recommend a couple of things. Number one, go listen to our program we did. The title of it was Are Christians Required to Tithe? And we really unpack both sides of it. If you go to moneywiselive.org, click on the show, and then just search for the word tithe, you'll see Are Christians Required to Tithe? And we took a pretty deep dive into that. You're right. You'll find people on both sides of this. And by the way, it was May 22nd that aired. You'll find people that really look at the law and recognize the tithe preceded the law, even though it was typically, when it was referenced by Abram and Melchizedek, a one-time event, not an ongoing thing. But you'll also see that others say, no, in the New Testament, you're right. The law was replaced with the law of Christ. And therefore, we're no longer under any part of the law. But here's, I think, the big idea is we can be legalistic about it on either side of it. And we can do it for the wrong reasons. And what God wants is our heart. And what I would absolutely say is in the Old and New Testament, we see giving affirmed. Giving is affirmed. We're most like God when we're giving because he's the ultimate giver. So my approach is I like the principle of the tithe as a starting point, not an ending point, but a way to systematically and proportionately support the work of the local church. But then let's not stop there. Let's give generously. Let's hold what we have with an open hand. Let's be involved in giving to those that are in need, those that don't have very much, or to the work of the Lord across the globe and even in your backyard, in your community, in the name of Jesus. It's fun to give. It's going to break the power of money, and you'll realize quickly what Jesus meant when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I appreciate the question, but at the end of the day, God wants your heart. It all belongs to him anyway, and you'll have a lot of fun if you join him in your giving.
Miguel, we're glad you called today and hope that information gives you a little bit of direction. Obviously, something that we could camp on for quite a while and discuss. Again, we appreciate your call and we appreciate you joining us and listening today. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. My thanks to our technical crew, Amy, Judy, Courtney, and Jim. Please join us again tomorrow for a brand new edition of MoneyWise Live.